Well, thank you very much. And Nina, thank you. I hope everyone here knows what a business leader in Dallas Nina is. Very well known, very active, and thank you very much for introducing me. Really appreciate it. Another one of my friends who actually asked me to do this, Massey Villarreal, isn't here today, but he's a great friend and a great advisor, as is Nina. So thank you so much for inviting me and letting me talk to you. I know you're going to have a good group from both the House and the Senate today, and that's great because the more we can have the dialogue, the better off all of us will be. Let me say, first of all, the Hispanic Chamber has such an important role. Certainly in my state of Texas, it is so well known and well regarded, and of course all of you represent the Hispanic Chambers throughout our country, and we know that it is the Hispanic-owned businesses that are growing at the greatest rate of any small businesses in our country. By 2010, it is said that Hispanic-owned firms are expected to grow to 3.2 million, with total revenues surging to more than $465 billion for our economy. Now, David, that is also going to be hopefully more revenue for you because your chamber should really grow. In fact, I'll digress for a moment and say that I was once a small business owner as well. And I think it was the best experience that I ever had to serve in the United States Senate, being in small business. We need more small business people to run for Congress because we're the ones who know what all the taxes and regulations do to hurt our small businesses, and we want instead to help our small businesses. In fact, I once said that being a small business owner means that you get to work 80 hours for yourself so you don't have to work 40 hours for someone else. We all know that. Well, as chairman of the Republican Policy Committee, let me say that we are trying to put forward pro-business, pro-growth, help for our economy measures. And this past month, we had a very bipartisan effort to have a stimulus package. We all know that the economy is kind of like this. The economy is not sailing like we would like for it to sail. So we all got together, Republicans and Democrats, and passed a $154 billion stimulus package. It wasn't perfect, but it did, I think, tell people that we were going to watch the economy and we were going to try to step in and help where needed. It does provide tax relief for businesses, rebates for taxpayers, seniors, and disabled veterans. I am hoping that it does keep our economy stable, but we also need to be on the lookout for whether we need another stimulus package or if we need to have a more long-term approach, which is what I certainly favor. I think permanent tax relief would be a part of that long-term economic prosperity. The tax cuts of 2001 and 2003, they started our economy going in the right direction. We now have people who have more money in their pocketbooks, the money they earned themselves, and I think it certainly helped solidify the stock market, and it created the opportunity for investment that has created thousands of new jobs. Now, I want to say that the budget that we are considering in the Senate this week is not a budget that I think is right for our country. It would not make the tax cuts permanent. It would not even extend the tax cuts of 2001 and 2003. Under this budget, you would see the capital gains and dividends rate go back up to 19.5 cents. It would be, I think, it's percent. I think that it would be very important for us not to pass a budget that taxes and adds taxes to our economy, especially at this precarious time. This is the worst time to increase taxes. The budget that is on the Senate floor today would have 43 million families with children to pay an average of $2,300 more per year. 18 million seniors would owe $2,200 more. 27 million small businesses would owe $4,100 more in taxes, and almost 8 million low-income workers would lose their jobs. So that is not the recipe for long-term economic growth. What we should be doing is making the tax cuts permanent, stay within a budget so that we start bringing down the deficit. That will also help the dollar abroad. It is very important that we start solidifying our economy with pro-growth, low tax provisions. Allowing companies to deduct net operating losses as well as the tax credits for new capital investment would be very important for our home builders, especially, and those of you who might service home building companies. We need to have the net operating losses be able to be carried back for at least a year or two to try to get the home builders not to be putting houses on the chopping block and then creating a lower value for every home in the area. I think this is the most important next step that we can take in a stimulus package. We need to keep the low taxes on capital gains and dividends, and we need to lower the corporate tax rate. You know, we are not competitive with international business anymore because our corporate tax rates are so much higher than other countries. So in the long term, we need to make American businesses more competitive so they don't feel they have to move overseas and take their jobs overseas. We need to keep our business in America. That's what creates jobs in America, and it creates service industries for small businesses throughout our country. We want incentives in the housing market through tax credits for home buyers. We have a proposal that will be put on the floor in the next stimulus package that would create a $15,000 credit for someone to buy a home that's in foreclosure or a home that was built last year but hasn't been sold yet, so that it would encourage maybe a first-time home buyer to be able to invest in one of these homes that would otherwise be in foreclosure and bring the property values in the area down. We want to repeal the death tax. You know, if there is anything that takes away the American dream, the dream that you can come to America and work hard and give your kids a better chance than you had, the death tax is what keeps us from being able to pass from generation to generation the businesses that you have worked so hard to create. We really need to focus. Republicans and Democrats together need to come together and at least have a permanent exemption in the death tax so that people will be able to know how much they would have to be able to pass to their children. Today, we are losing the second and third generation family businesses, and that hurts the family. It hurts the person who worked hard to give their kids that head start. It also hurts the people who work for them, because if that family business goes under, that's another job lost for the people that are working in that business. So repealing the death tax should be on everyone's agenda, and I hope that we would be able to pass that. Let's talk about another area that we must address if we are going to remain competitive in the global marketplace: education. Education is the foundation of our democracy and the strength of our economy. Having a strong system of public education is what set us apart from Europe way back when the founders came across the ocean to find a new way of life in America. Over 200 years ago, they said, we're going to be different from Europe, where they only educate the elite. We are going to have public education because that is what will keep our democracy strong. An educated electorate is what keeps our democracy. So we've got to focus on education and make sure that we are keeping up with the responsibility that was given to us by our founding fathers. It is a fact that we have more young Hispanics dropping out of school, especially in the states where we have the large Hispanic populations, than the other groups in our states. That is unacceptable. We must make sure that we keep our young people in high school so they graduate. And furthermore, we've got to make sure that they have the opportunity to go to college, like everyone, to be able to have the full potential that they can reach to get the good jobs. The good jobs, the engineering jobs, the nursing jobs, the doctors, the lawyers. Well, maybe not lawyers. small business. But seriously, the Census Bureau is now estimating that one out of every two people who are added to our nation's population will be Hispanic Americans. The U.S. Department of Labor says one in every three new entrants in the job market is Hispanic. So we must focus on Hispanics in high school and then in college. I am the co-chairman of the Hispanic Serving Institution Caucus in the United States Senate. Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico and I were the original co-chairs, and now we have four co-chairs with our senator from Colorado and our senator from Florida also added to our number. So we've got great now impetus. When I started the Hispanic Serving Institution funding, along with Congressman Hinojosa, who was the real pusher on the House side, we started in 1995, and we got $12 million for our Hispanic serving institutions. Last year, thanks to the work of Congressman Hinojosa and all of our members of our Hispanic Serving Institution Caucus, $100 million for our Hispanic serving institutions. And that is every year, because what we learned from our Hispanic advisory groups is that our young people need a little more help. Many of them are first time in their family college entrants. They haven't had the encouragement from home that others have had because they've never had someone go to college. So they have to have a little bit of extra help. Extra counseling. Maybe they need help because they didn't get something in their high school, and we want to be able to provide that for them. Now, I'm proud to say that Texas has more Hispanic serving institutions than any state, and we want to make sure that all of our Hispanic serving institutions have the tools they need to do the job of keeping our students in college so they get that degree. Now, Jeff Bingaman and I have introduced a new piece of legislation, which is the Next Generation Hispanic Serving Institution Act. What that does is provide new fellowships for people to get graduate degrees. Once we have gotten them graduated from college, we want to make sure they get the master's and the PhD degrees. So we have fellowships and support services for college graduates who are Hispanic, who will be able to go on and get the higher degrees. We also want the Hispanic serving institutions to offer those degrees. Many of them are building toward that now. And we want to make sure that they have all of those opportunities. So there's a lot that we can do to make sure that our public education system is meeting the challenges of today to make sure that every child in America has the education needed to reach that child's full potential. That is our goal for public education, and we will not stop until that is achieved. The DREAM Act. I worked with Senator Dick Durbin on the Senate floor to try to come up with a proposal that would take the young people who have come here, not of their own volition, but they came with their parents who came illegally. Now, these are young people in the bill that Dick Durbin and I were working on. It would be children of illegal immigrants who had been here at least 5 years. So they have graduated from an American high school. We wanted them to be able to go to college with some kind of legal status, because today, thousands of our Hispanic youngsters who are children of illegal immigrants do not have status. So they are in college. They may graduate from college, but they can't get a job because they don't have a status to be able to say, I am here legally. So in the proposals that we were trying to get on the Senate floor, it would have a status, a visa, for these young people who are in limbo through no fault of their own. Not to mention that we have already invested in these young people. We have invested in their public education in high school. We have invested in their college. And yet, we are saying, when you graduate from college, you go to another country and use your skills. It is ludicrous for us not to address this group of people who are really a small group of people that really have no fault, who have been in our country and participated in our system, and yet we are letting them go. This is something that I thought we would be able to address because it was a small version of dealing with part of the issue of illegal immigration. We could not get the bill brought up. It didn't get enough votes to be brought to the floor. But I know that we will be able to do this. Sometimes it takes more than one try. Let's talk about the illegal immigration issue, because of course it is one of the major issues of our time. And I will tell you, as a United States Senator, it's the hardest issue I've ever dealt with. It is complicated. People are very divided on it. And you could see by what happened in the Senate last year that it just was, we were unable to put all the pieces together to get enough people to vote for a comprehensive reform. Although I at one time said we have to have comprehensive reform, we should not do it piecemeal, I no longer think that is possible. And I think we need to start working one step at a time, because eventually we will deal with this issue. But I think it is going to come in increments. I think the next thing that we should try is to have legislation that addresses two critical issues. Border security, absolutely. We all want secure borders. I think everyone agrees that we are a sovereign nation, that we have criminals that are abusing our borders, criminal drug dealers, human traffickers, even terrorists have been notified by their networks that going through the southern or the northern border is a way to get into America, and it's easier than flying in from a foreign country. So we do need to have secure borders. We also must have a guest worker program. We must have a guest worker program going forward that allows us to have the workers for our economy to be able to have a status. So I think a border program and a program for being able to have workers, a work visa program, a temporary worker program, we need to have those two things right now. I believe if we can get the confidence of the American people that we do have a handle on the border and we do have a program for temporary workers that works, that we can then begin to deal with the people who are here now. But I think we need to take the first two steps first and then try to deal with who is here and try to get them into some kind of a system that would be put together later. It's not the best way, it's not my first choice, but I do think we need to keep working for this immigration reform. It is in everyone's interest that we have a system that works, that we know works, where people come to our country in a legal system, we know who is here, and we also know that they are going to be treated well and not be living in the underground. So I think those are the issues that we will certainly be trying to face as we go forward. Let me just end with one other point. Not enough is said about the contribution of the Hispanic American warriors in our country. We are in a war on terror. Our finest soldiers, among our finest leaders, are our Hispanic Americans. I never hear anybody talking about it. I never hear it. But I will tell you, when I go overseas and I am visiting in Iraq or Afghanistan, when I visited in Kosovo and Bosnia, I would be led around by General Sanchez. I worked with General Valenzuela. I meet with our leaders, our military leaders, and our warriors on the ground, and so many of them are Hispanic Americans. And they are making a huge contribution to our country, and we should thank them every day for helping our country retain the freedom that made all of us want to live in America. I am so proud of every one of them. I just returned from Iraq and Afghanistan 2 weeks ago, and I met with our warriors, and in every group I met, there were so many wonderful Hispanics serving our country. So it is important that we remember their contribution to our freedom too. I'm working now to make sure that they have their veterans' health care needs taken care of in South Texas, because for years, with the large number of Hispanic American veterans, they've had to go for 4 hours to San Antonio to get the medical treatment they need. Now we're building the clinics in South Texas so that they will have the health care that they so richly deserve. So I just want to add that to the mix of things that are said about the Hispanic Americans in our society. We have the entrepreneurs, you represent them. We have the small businesses, that's the creativity, that's the economic engine of our country. But the freedom engine of our country is our military. They're the ones who are out on the front lines every day, making sure that terrorists don't come and kill innocent Americans again. And the contribution being made by our Hispanic Americans, and even some illegal immigrants who, as you know, are made citizens when they serve in our military, it's really very inspiring. So thank you all very much for what you're contributing. Thank you for having me. And let's continue to work together to solve all of the issues that we must solve to make sure that the American dream is always kept alive. Thank you very much.